This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. It is Thursday. We are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. Listening to 107.7 FM, and we'd also love for you to go and go to our Facebook page, Food for Thought with Carol and Mike, or our website, brand new website, foodforthoughtnh.com. That would be great. And so what's happening, Mike?
Well, place for folks, if they wanted to hear any of the previous broadcast or some of the interviews with people that we've had, maybe it's a friend of yours that was on, just make sure you find out what day it was, and then go to foodforthoughtnh.com, and you'll be able to find it on the podcast page. And everything is there, last I checked, from all the way back in February.
Yeah, it's right when from
we started
the beginning.
Archiving everything, so there's a good 4 months worth of Food for Thought, should you have a little extra time on your hands. Our show is brought to you by Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill on 2nd Street, Manchester. Authentic Mexican at incredible prices. And Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry. And sometime this fall, or at least later in the summer, North Conway, New Hampshire. So if you're vacationing up in that area, up in the White Mountains, you can still make sure that you stay on track with Bruno and his
Rocco
and his staff at Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. That's very cool. Hey, I'm taking your suggestion, by the way, for comedy cold cuts for tomorrow.
Donuts.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah. Donuts and coffee will be the theme tomorrow, and I have.
You must have found quite a bit on that. I imagine.
I did a lot of it. I couldn't use for any number of reasons. You need a good 1.5 to 3 minutes of, you know, because I'm not going to sit and edit out the bad jokes or the swears. Right. So that eliminates a lot of stuff. But there is some really very funny stuff having to do with donuts or the places that serve them. And I also found an absolutely adorable 30-second clip on YouTube of this family trying to teach their little toddler how to say Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, jeez.
It's one of those, oh, isn't that cute moments. So we'll put that in tomorrow's Comedy Cold Cuts at your suggestion for, because it is National Donut Day
tomorrow.
And we wondered about Krispy Kreme. There aren't any up here, but, you know, there are some maybe where you're going tomorrow. Free donut, only one per person. And Dunkin' Donuts is doing theirs with the purchase of a beverage. Then you get a free donut.
Oh, cool. So Dunkin' Donuts is doing it. Well, okay,
yeah,
but you need to
but
purchase
something. Purchase required.
Okay.
And
okay.
Starbucks, I haven't heard. I don't think they're participating. Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, well, maybe we can do a little research on that and see what's on. See what's happening.
Are you signing that to me or somebody that works for us? Or you?
No, I'll do that when when I'm doing my research for the show.
All right, because tomorrow is actually Donut Day.
Tomorrow's Donut Day.
Cool.
Yummy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and without any further ado, we are going to be learning today about how to shop farmers markets. So welcome, Linda, to Food for Thought again.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Mike. How's everything going?
Very good.
How are you doing, Linda?
First of all, I'm kind of scared.
Why?
Now you're archiving all of these. People can listen to this
anytime on
the website.
Yes.
Okay, that's kind of scary because now I'm thinking back, going, okay, did I ever say anything that really sounded stupid that I don't want people to hear again?
No.
Now leave that to us. We're pretty good at that.
Oh, you know, well, that makes it fun. And the next thing, now I have to try Tuna Pea Wiggle.
I was just going to say, hear about my Tuna Pea Wiggle?
I did. I was listening, and I'm intrigued. Now, I love tuna casserole, which adds some noodles to the Tuna Pea Wiggle, and it almost sounds like tuna casserole. But I'm going to have to try it and put it over toast. It's just, I'm intrigued, very intrigued.
Well, yeah, too bad you weren't close by because I certainly made plenty of it.
I thought you were sending it all home with the mayor.
I did, actually. I did.
He went home with it.
He did. He went home
back to the office. His office is like a 2-minute walk from the studios here. So it makes it easy for us to get him down every 2 weeks to give him something yummy to eat and talk about what's going on in the city. And he's a good sport, I would say. Wouldn't you, Carol?
I think he's a great sport.
Sounded thrilled that you made Tuna Pea Wiggle with me.
Well, you know what? I enjoyed it because, you know, I'm from the Midwest, and that's a very typical Midwestern real cheap meal to make. You open up a can of tuna, you get some small peas, a little soup sauce, and some toast. I mean, you can feed. I'm the oldest of seven, so we're not eating sirloin every night. We had, well, it was called chip beef on toast or chip tuna on toast, basically, or blank on a shingle if you want to be in the military.
Right, the military's way
so
to call it.
It's all the same thing, but you know what? I really enjoyed it. I am glad Carol made that today.
Well, what I also like about it is that sense of family. I mean, his mother made it. His wife got the recipe. She makes it. I mean, some of those recipes, and, you know, they're not necessarily the healthiest. They may not be the most fancy or gourmet, but they're the ones that stay with you your whole life. You remember those recipes, and you tend to, those are the first ones you pass on to the next generation. And it's just, it's, you know, that that sense of family through the generations that you can get from one recipe. It's lovely. It's a wonderful way to, you know, to continue on, you know, family traditions through food.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I was surprised to hear that his wife had just made it 2 weeks ago. I was like, whoa, he really does like tuna meatballs.
It must be one of those dishes that he begs her for.
It must
or at least,
be.
Or at least he knows, okay, I can make this and he'll be happy tonight, okay?
Yeah, right. Maybe she needs to ask him an important question or something.
Yeah. But, you know, right. Linda, you talk about it maybe not being gourmet, but I'm thinking of some foods, some comfort foods, not specifically that one, that have really taken on their own gourmet lives, and that is grilled cheese.
The way
that people have essentially tricked it up has been phenomenal, and I'm a huge grilled cheese fan. And
I love it.
See the stuff that people do with it, and there's endless possibilities. So maybe Tuna Pea Wiggle will get its own day in the light of gourmet food at some point.
Oh, I'm sure somebody, well, maybe myself for that matter, may look at this and go, now if I change this and I put this in and I do a little of this, next thing you know, you've got, you know, Queen Elizabeth's Tuna Pea Wiggle.
You know what my favorite grilled cheese is, though? Copper Door does a fantastic short rib and caramelized onion grilled cheese.
Oh,
now, do they put
mercy.
It in between the slices?
Oh, my
right?
goodness.
Oh, yeah. It is to die for.
Well, mine is, there's a restaurant in Lawrence, Kansas called the Mirth Cafe, and they make one that has pesto and four different kinds of cheeses and some baby spinach on it. I adore that one, and I make it at home all the time. I love
really?
That one.
Now, think about it. Did we see that kind of grilled cheese action, say, 20 years ago?
I don't
think. No, of course not. No.
So do we blame the Food Network for that and the ever-increasing need to be creative and one better than the next chef with restaurants? Is that one of the reasons that we're going so crazy on these basic comfort foods?
Well, I think that, and then you've got bloggers trying to come up, you know, the plethora of food bloggers out there, including myself, who are always looking for ways to twist and stuff. And in fact, one of my pet peeves is that when somebody takes a basic dish like grilled cheese too far, because sometimes it's just like, sometimes you just want a grilled cheese sandwich, you know, or sometimes you just want tomato soup, or just sometimes you want tuna salad, or, you know, and then, you know, and they put all this stuff in it, and it's like, you know, just give me a good basic recipe, you know. That's kind of what I did on my blog today. I've got what I call blissful cranberry cookies, and they're a riff on Starbucks cranberry bliss bar that they serve.
Yes.
But what I like about it is the basic cookie dough is just a basic dough. It's that you can put anything into it and make a cookie. You know, you can add, you know, you can make basic chocolate chip cookies, throw some oatmeal in there, and you got, and a little cinnamon, you got oatmeal cookies. You can put whatever dried fruit chips or whatever you want in it and have this cookie, but it's a basic cookie recipe that you can dress up however you want to. And I think, you know, sometimes we get away from some of those basic recipes that are the foundation for everything else. And so let's celebrate some of those basic recipes, basic bread, basic cakes, basic things that then you play off of. But if you don't know how to do those well first, you can't make all the fancy stuff that comes afterwards. You got to know those basics first.
I couldn't agree more, and I think a comparison we could make is if you watch or have watched American Idol or The Voice or some kind of show where you've got singers coming on taking an iconic song that we all know and twisting it around, and sometimes it works, more often than not it doesn't. It's like sometimes you just can't improve a good thing as hard as you might try.
Right. Well, and it's one thing to make a few tweaks to make a few changes. But yeah, sometimes, like with those songs, you can take it too far, and you've totally lost the feel and the heart of what it began as. Before, you know, by adding too much to it. So, whether it's a song or a recipe, I think it applies both ways.
Yeah, when you look at some of these sandwiches, we were just talking about grilled cheese, but name any sandwich, I see them piled so high. How does anybody get that in their mouth? I wonder. Suddenly, it's not a practical thing to eat. Yeah. And I don't want to eat my sandwich with a fork and a knife. I'm sorry. It's meant to be eaten with your hands.
Exactly. And, I mean, you know, you've got to be able to pick it up, get your mouth around, and you don't want all the stuff falling out of it.
I know, because I'm the sloppiest eater.
I know, and it gets down your shirt, and it's all over your, you know, it's on top of your fries, and it's just not good.
Oh yeah, I own 10 Tide sticks. I have them everywhere: in my pockets, in my briefcase, in my car, in my bedroom, on my nightstand.
Come on.
Oh yeah.
TMI, Mike.
I understand. I'm always checking every shirt that goes in the laundry. Does it have a stain? I know that feeling.
Now, get some Tide sticks for Daryl. He'll appreciate it. It will not diminish his manliness, believe me.
I have to shout out every single shirt
he wears. See? So basically,
but he's a granite worker.
Right.
He gets filthy.
Where's the grease come from with granite?
Well, it's not grease. It's just dirty.
Grime and everything else.
Yeah,
construction.
It's like unbelievable.
Schmutz.
I'll say, okay, you need to ask your boss for some new shirts. This one is.
How'd that one go over?
He what?
He has a good excuse, see, because to have a shirt that looks like that. Me, I'm just a sloppy eater. That's why my shirt looks so bad.
All right, so what do we, I'm like dying to talk about farmers markets and how to shop farmers markets.
Well, you know, a lot of people, they think, oh, I'm going to go to the farmers market, and they just head out, and that's great. You know, go, don't stop from going. But if you put a little thought into it, you can get a little more out of the experience. My first tip is take a tote bag with you. I know that most of the farmers have plastic bags, but honestly, after you get a few of those, they get heavy, and you know how they'll cut into your hands. And also, it's nice for the environment. If you've got that tote bag with you, to put what you're buying into it, you can put it on your shoulder, makes it a little easier to carry. Or if you're really crazy like me, you take a little wheelie cart with you to carry everything in so that you're not carrying it over your shoulders, because I tend to be very serious when I come to buying things at the farmer's market. So I have a cart with wheels that I take, and everybody's always going, oh, that's a good idea. So it's always good to have a tote bag with you, though, so you're not carrying all those plastic bags.
There you go. That makes sense. Plus, sometimes if you overfill them, too, they rip. You know?
Yeah, exactly. So, oh, you know, and if you're buying, corn on the cob is notorious for tearing the bag because it's a stalk. You know, the end of it from the stalk is hard, and it'll cut through a plastic bag easy. So if you have a, canvas tote bag, you don't have to worry about those things. Right. And I always take an insulated bag with me, too, because I tend to buy meat and cheese and dairy products at the farmer's market as well. So I want something that I can put it in a cooler, an insulated bag with an ice pack, so it stays cold while I'm walking around the market. Or, make sure you have a cooler in the car that you can throw it into when you get done as well. So either way. But, yeah, I have a way to keep the cold stuff cold so it'll stay good until you get home. So, but, it takes a little forethought to think about. And also, the money that you bring, try and bring smaller bills. You may have 20, 40 bucks that you're taking with you, but have it in ones and fives and tens at the biggest, because, these farmers and these people that are vendors that are selling, they do try and have change, but sometimes they'll get pretty tough if everybody's handing them a $20 bill. So, bring smaller bills to make it a little easier for them.
It has nothing to do with lap dances breaking out at the farmer's market?
No, not that I'm aware of, but there's lots of times musicians playing. So you want to have a dollar bill or two that you can throw into their can or their box that they've got there, so that, if they're doing a good job, you want to be able to tip them too. So, yeah, there is tipping going on, just a different kind of tipping.
Yeah, well, that was a good save on your part, by the way. That was an excellent answer.
Yeah, that was.
I didn't give you much to work with.
Thank you. Yeah, we don't need to know about any experiences I've had otherwise.
All right, well, speaking of socially awkward, help me out with this one. I love going to farmers markets, and I like talking to the farmers or the bakers or whatever they are. And, you know, then I feel like I didn't buy anything from you and I just talked to you for a couple minutes. You know, I just feel like I should buy something if I talk to somebody. And I know that's not expected, but I just have that guilt feeling. Can I reset my mind here so I don't feel that way?
Well, I don't think that you need to feel that way. They'll understand. You know, they're happy to talk to you, and they know that then one, if you don't buy anything, then you're more than likely to come back to them next time and buy something. You know, especially if they don't necessarily have exactly what you're looking for, they understand. And so, and they're great sources. You know what they're really great sources for are recipes.
You know, oh, okay.
If they've got an unusual vegetable or something you're not sure of, or even if it's something you cook with all the time, ask them how they make it. And most of them will tell you how they make it, and they have some great ideas on how to use this. I got a great chicken recipe from the guy I buy chickens from at the market, and herbs. You know, if you're not sure how to use a particular herb, they're usually good at telling you how to do those too. But yeah, talk to them; they're happy, and they understand if you don't buy something this time, they're hopeful that next time you will. So, especially if they don't have exactly what you're looking for, but you want to talk to them too. Because, I mean, I don't know how much it happened there. I don't remember it so much there. But I know at the farmer's market here, not all the produce necessarily comes from local places. Some of it has been shipped in from other places. So you want to talk to them and ask them where it came from. You know, in our case, sometimes it comes from neighboring Missouri, which is fine, you know. But, if I'm going to buy peaches, Georgia peaches, yeah, those are nice, but I'd rather wait for the local ones to come in. And sometimes, you know, they're shipped in from the same places that the grocery store is getting them from. So you want to know where your fruit, where it's coming from. So ask them how it's grown. Ask them where they grew it. If there are tomatoes at a stand and it's not really tomato season, you kind of want to know, well, did they grow them in their own greenhouse? Like, I know there's I can't think of the name of the farm there, but they have massive greenhouses that they grow tomatoes in almost all year long. So, you know, that's cool. They're local. They're growing them there. Or did they get shipped in from down south where maybe they're just not much better than what you'd find in the supermarket? So talk to them. Ask them.
Well, that seems like an awkward conversation to have. It's like, all right, so the corn looks great. Where did it come from? Well, from my farm. I mean, I see what you're saying. It just makes me even more awkward now to ask that question.
Well, the corn looks great. When did you have to plant it to get it to grow this quick? Or what kind of corn is it? Ask them what variety it is. If they know what variety they've grown, farmers will know what kind they've grown. Get an idea of how long have you been harvesting it. You can couch your questions to get a better idea of whether, if they're the ones that have been growing it or if it got shipped in from somewhere else. So
yeah, I mean, I kind of think that would be sort of kind of almost an expected question, being at a farmer's market, I mean, maybe not an expected question, but I don't think it's an all that bad question.
Really? Because if I go there, I totally expect that if they're from Temple, New Hampshire, that's where it came from. Maybe it's my impression, right or wrong. If I'm going to a farmer's market, it's because I think the person that's there is the one that harvested it.
Right. I see that. But like Linda said, if it's, there are these big, beautiful tomatoes and it's not tomato season,
right,
where are they getting them?
Or peaches, which have about
corn.
A two-week season here.
Corn.
Right. Well, exactly. Well, and that's why I think the name of the farm was Lewis's. I'm not sure. But I know they have these massive greenhouses with raising and heating under the soil to grow tomatoes this time of year. So, I mean, it's not that it's impossible to have tomatoes this early, but ask. Just ask. It does, and they should be expecting it to be. And if they've grown them themselves, they'll love to talk to you about it. But, you're going to want to know it's your money. And you want to know where, you want to make sure that it's going where you think it's going. And it's always good to ask. And also, a lot of them I know get asked about pesticides. Because if they're not if they don't say organic, people want to know, are you using pesticides or how are you treating, or do you know naturally? And they may not say organic, but they may use organic methods. So ask. They're expecting it. And I'm sure a lot of people, they get asked a lot of these questions. So it's not like you're going to be the first one to ask them. But I know around here, they've even started putting on the signs, the price signs, where the fruit and vegetables have come from. so that people don't even have to ask.
That's
so
smart.
That's how much they've been asked.
Yeah, good point. I was at the Salem, New Hampshire Farmers Market, as Carol knows, a couple of Sundays ago, and I'm a huge fan of field greens for my salad more than anything else. I like the bag of mixed, you know, greens that go into the bag. And so I got a great big bag, and it was a little bit more that you pay at the store, but they packed it in so much. I think if I weighed it out, it would probably be the same. But it had just a whole different vibe to it because there was a few things in there that maybe just got accidentally kind of cut in there, like some chives and other stuff that you normally wouldn't get, and some flowers that were going to seed that were probably part of a broccoli plant or something. And I said, this is kind of cool because I'm getting some different flavors at the farmer's market that I don't get when I'm shopping in the produce department at the store, yeah, which is so carefully controlled. I like the fact that I was getting different stuff.
That's cool. That is cool.
I know. That's great. And, you know, these farmers, they're growing way wider varieties of lettuces and greens and herbs than you're going to get in a grocery store anyway. So, you know, there's so many varieties of these baby greens that a farmer will grow in a grocery store, it's not economically beneficial to them to do, that these guys will do. And yeah, they'll make up all kinds of fun varieties and stuff. So yeah, and when you get to a farmer's market, one of the first things you want to do is walk the whole thing, if you can, before you buy anything. Just walk all around, because the last thing you want to do is buy tomatoes at one stand and then see better ones at a lower price at another one.
It's true. It is true.
So just take a minute, breathe through, get the bearings, get the lay of the land, see what's going, unless you think that something's going to spell out on you before you get a chance to get back around to it. But, you know, take a look around first and then go back and start, you know, go back to the ones that really caught your attention and make your purchases there. Because it's always good to take a look through first to see what's available and the prices that are going to, because they tend to be all about the same price at different stands, but some do vary. So you want to take a look at the different ones.
Can you negotiate with them, Linda? Can you negotiate with them, say, during the last 15 minutes or half hour, that when they don't want to bring the stuff back and it's going to spoil anyway, that maybe you offer them half what they're asking? And are they willing to barter or bargain with you?
Oh, absolutely. They will do that, especially towards the end of the market. They will, if what they have left, like you said, they don't want to take it back. So if you go in and say, well, you know, say they're selling a basket of tomatoes for $4. And you say, well, can I get two for $4? They'll usually go right with it, or they may even do more. Or they may even be the ones that will offer the deal. If you're standing there looking, they may offer it to you anyway before you even ask. But, yeah, sure, it doesn't hurt to ask. And they're more than happy. They'll want to get rid of it. Now, you know, jars of jelly and stuff like that, they may not, because those can be brought back the next week. But, yeah, the fresh stuff, definitely ask them. And it's also good, you know, when seasons come in, if you're canning or if you're making jellies or jams and those kind of things, ask them if they've got seconds, you know, which are, you know, the fruits that, you know, the tomatoes, the strawberries that have blemishes to them that you wouldn't really want to eat straight out, but are perfect for making tomato sauce or strawberry jam or things about. And sometimes they'll sell those in way huge flats of them for a really good price, because they can't sell them, you know, as the pretty ones that people are going to want to slice those tomatoes or eat those strawberries, but they'll cook with them. So ask if they sell those. Ask them if they sell second. And if
those
you're
are
going to do
really
that kind of thing.
Great ideas. You
Something
know?
That wouldn't have occurred to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's true.
Terrific
it's
idea.
True.
Before we go, you talked about, you know, being exposed to new and different things at a farmer's market. A couple of years ago at the Manchester market, Carol, I ran across somebody who was selling purple string beans. Have you ever seen those?
No.
Linda,
purple.
Have you seen them?
I have seen those, and I've seen them in gardening catalogs too. Well, and there's like purple carrots, and, you know, carrots come in all different colors now.
Well, here's the shocker. Here's the shocker about the purple beans. And I don't think they told me about this when I bought them. I took them home. I steamed them. They turned green.
No.
It's like magic. Yeah.
Really?
They look like the color of beets or eggplant when you buy them. And then you take them home and you steam them, and they turn green like any other ones. It was the darndest thing. And I haven't seen much of those lately the last couple of years.
Hmm.
Very cool. It's a good trick to play on company. Hey, have you ever had purple beans before? Then you put it on, you bring it, and you deliver it, and they're green. And go, oh, you're a weirdo.
But hey, well, make those purple potatoes. If you mash them up, they're almost gray. So that's kind of a funny look to them.
Yeah.
They taste good.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Linda. Those were great tips. And you know what? I'm going to keep all those in mind when I visit my Bedford Farmers Market this coming Tuesday.
Oh, they're opening up. I know.
They are.
Yeah,
cool. I have the list.
Oh,
so
great.
We can talk about that.
That's
yeah.
Good.
Well, and I know, yeah, because Concord, I know, has already opened up. So
yeah, most of them have started. So yeah, but you know, some of them don't have everything, but you know, they're definitely going. So.
Oh yeah, can't expect certain things. You got to go by the season and expect certain things at certain times. I mean, you're going to get your butternut squash in August, September, not in June. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
All right, Linda. Well, thank
you. Good stuff.
And very good stuff. I thought that was really interesting. And
great. Well, I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Sounds
all right.
Couple weeks.
Yeah, I can't be on next week, and I emailed you why, but I will be on the next.
Oh, okay. I just didn't get that email yet. I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's okay. Yeah.
All right.
So that's okay. But yeah, I'm not available next week, but I will be. We'll be after that. So
no problem. No problem.
Talk to you
all right.
Then.
Good. Then
thanks,
we'll talk
Linda.
To you then. Thanks, Linda.
Bye.
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 All right, you are listening to Food for Thought, and we are going to go on a short break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Chef Patrick. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
And now open with a drive-thru in Londonderry. Also, Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room. Food for Thought and Kale and Company. Kenny Kale and his cast, his crew, and company on at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Of course, Peter St. James moving from mornings to mid-morning meltdown at 9. And Jack Heath with New Hampshire Today is on with us back on the Pulse between 6 and 9. So a revamped lineup, and it's a good one. Jack Heath, Peter St. James, Food for Thought, Kale and Company. There you go. All live, all local, all day on the Pulse. And that's a perfect take. Thank you.
Very cool. That was pretty good, Mike.
I hope you got that back there.
And, you know, we were just talking about farmers markets, mm-hmm. and I just wanted to let the listeners know that if you just punch in Google New Hampshire farmers markets, the New Hampshire farmers market list comes right up. It pops right up at the top, and you can print it off. City by city.
Cool.
It's all alphabetical order, and, you know, all your information mm-hmm. is right there. So there you go. And without any further ado, let's welcome on Chef Patrick for our weekly cooking lesson. And Chef Patrick Hall, he is a culinary director at Lakes Region Community College. You can check them out on the web at lrcc.com. They are in their summer schedule at the moment. And let's welcome on Chef Patrick. How are you?
How are things?
Hi,
Very
Chef.
Good.
Good. I'm sorry, you know, I couldn't come in today, but you know, I was looking forward to it. But yes, we keep going through, you know, our summer schedule. Like I was talking last week, we have our Garmanger class, which is our art and craft of the cool kitchen. And we were talking about some dressings and salads and things that we made. And this week we were into our sandwich section. So it kind of flows through. Mm-hmm. You know, you start off with dressings and your mayonnaises and your aiolis and things like that. And I was telling you, I play jokes on my students and stuff. But then we all kind of tie that into to making sandwiches and whatnot. So we make some pretty crazy ones. And a lot of people, when we first start this section, you know, the students are like, "Oh, a sandwich, I know how to make a sandwich." I said, "Well, yeah, you know how to make a sandwich, but you don't know how to make a funky sandwich." So, you know, that's what we do. We make all sorts of different ones. So, I mean, we made a couple of different good ones today, which is great. And it's one of my favorite sections because fat guys just like sandwiches. That's all there is to it. And so we did this one sandwich, which is on a hard baguette roll. It's a duck confit. With apple and brie on a baguette. Have you ever had confit duck before?
Anybody? I don't think I have.
I have.
Mm.
And
have
you?
Very
I love
much.
It. Yes.
So we take our duck legs and we pretty much brine them. We marinate them for, you know, a couple of days. And then what confit means is that you literally take those duck legs and you cook them in their own duck fat. You know, so you kind of just simmer them inside there. And so
how can that not be good?
Oh yeah, it's great. You know, I always keep like a couple gallons of duck fat on hand because you never know when you may, you know, need it for a situation.
Yeah, we have some at home in the fridge too.
Yeah, never know when you're
all the time,
need some
right?
Duck fat.
You know, so you simmer it right down and it just falls right off. So you take that duck meat and you put it on this nice toasted baguette with a little bit of caramelized onions and some roasted apples, and then you melt brie on top of it. Oh, crazy!
Yum!
Telling you, have tears rolling down your face.
That
you know,
sounds
so we did
really
one
good.
Of those. We did another sandwich, which is like a pan baguette, is what it's called. And what they use is you take a tuna filling. So you're going to add eggs. You take some cucumbers. You take a vinaigrette, black olives, roasted red peppers. And you, once again, you take a hard roll, and you kind of like scoop it out, and then you fill it with that. You know, and so the whole idea behind our sandwich making, you know, composition, you know, people, oh, it's so simple, but it's so, and some sandwiches are so simple, but to come up with different alternative ideas to your basic sandwich, you know, and I always tell students, I'm like, hey, anybody can walk down the street and have a turkey sandwich. I said, but you know, you don't always see some of these other funky sandwiches that are going on there, and people are always looking for ideas for that too. So
I really like that idea of taking out the center mm-hmm. of the hard roll. That
yeah, like the hard roll in like
it's like a trap like a door nice in your crunchy sandwich.
It's oh, yeah. Cool.
And I'll bring some of these in for you next week. I promise. But like I said, you dig that out and then you fill it, and it's like this kind of like this fresh, you know, tuna. So most people eat tuna, like they think of, you know, just a tuna salad, you know, that Mike left on his counter, you know, a while back, which will last a couple hours, by the way. And but you put it inside the roll, and it's just like a whole different type of sandwich. So you know, as we progress through our cooking 101 segment with our students, you know, like I said, you know how to make your own fresh dressings, your own fresh your fresh spreads and things like that, and then compile them to make salads and then make fresh sandwiches. That's what culinary is all about, you know, being a garment j chef, and that's why I tried. We made falafels as well too. Have you ever had falafels before?
I have, and I love them.
I love falafels.
Yeah.
So we take our chickpeas, and we also take our fava beans, grind them up, and make like a little paste out of them, and fry them off. And then we use what's called the tzatziki sauce, and we just take a little bit of yogurt, and I put some cucumber in there, salt, pepper, a little bit of lemon juice, and it makes this really great sauce. And you know, I love this for summertime because it's nice and fresh, and you have pita pockets, or you can do it in a wrap. And eat them. And like I said, if I was vegetarian, I'd probably live off of falafels.
You see, my son was vegan for many years, and so we always had falafels in the house. So, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's, I mean, good. And it's a great staple. You'll start seeing that more and more for restaurants that are offering that, you know. And then other vegetarian options too. I mean, you talk about we made like little lentil and barley mini burgers. Little lentil and barley, make little cakes, make a paste out of them, and and then you just kind of grill them off and put them on little sliders, with maybe like a different like kind of little aioli to them, you know. So we do a lot of different like funky sandwiches and try to incorporate, you know, your different ones like your like you know your fig and walnut bruschettas and your little tea sandwiches and all sorts of stuff. And then they have to platter them up, make them look nice, and the students really go crazy with you know like you know all the different combinations of things that we use, you know. So.
Yeah. Did you hear what I made? I made the mayor lunch today.
You did?
I did. Usually I have a restaurant that comes in and, you know, delivers him lunch. But today I made him lunch, and you will never guess what I made.
Let me see. I'm taking. Was it a salad?
No.
No? It's, sandwich?
I don't think you'll. It no. Tuna something.
Something on a shingle.
I won't get it. I don't think so.
I made tuna pea wiggle.
Oh yes, that is so. I love that. We used to do it with tuna. We also used to do it with salmon.
Yes, and, that there was and, recipes for salmon pea wiggle. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, with the peas and the cream sauce. We do that, and I have a classical French class, and we make the little the puff pastry cups. And pour it right in there, a nice little cream. I did one with fig and chicken, and I made also like a gorgonzola sauce that went inside that sits inside those. So you got that sweet, and then you got the creaminess from the gorgonzola, and then you fill those things. That's a great dish.
And now that
that's
I think like of it, Barb makes a chicken a la king with those little puff pastries with the hole in the middle. It's basically the same thing, except with chicken.
That's one of those. You know, your home food, your standards, like kind of like shepherd's pie or something like that. You know, that's what I always think because, you know, I was raised on that, you know, that style of food. And those are great. I love that, you know. So
my tuna pea wiggle wasn't as fancy as yours.
I always got to put a fancy twist to things, you know.
Well,
that's why we pay you the big bucks that we do.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, that's right.
It's funny. You're talking about the falafel a couple minutes ago. I don't know if anybody remembers this from Saturday Night Live. They had Tom Brady on dressed as a genie, and he was a spokesperson for this place called the House of Falafel.
Come on.
I never saw that one.
Yeah, you when you have a chance, Chef, Google it, and hopefully it'll come up. Tom Brady, House of Falafel. And
that
probably had that little skit, which was stupid, but it just, you looked at it, Tom Brady, really, in a genie outfit?
Yeah,
he does great ones on, you know, on Saturday Night Live. He's been on it several times. Like, it's funny to watch him, you know. So that's pretty cool. So so we have that sandwiches, and when I come in next week, I'll bring some of those for you. But also too, we start up next week. We start our curing section. So there's some good bacon you're going to have on the horizon.
Ooh,
some gravlax that we're going to be making.
Now we're talking.
Some smoked pork.
You had me at bacon, Chef.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Bring some of those in. So let me know if there's something you want cured. I'll cure and smoke it all day. You know.
How about my hangover? Can you do anything about
that? I can cure that. Yes.
Okay.
All right, Chef Patrick, we are going to go on a break, and I know that you have an appointment. So we will say bye to you, and we look forward to seeing you in studio next week with some sandwiches. That sounds great.
Absolutely. I'll be in there, so I'll wow you with my sandwich creativity.
Sounds fun.
Thank you, Chef.
I can't wait.
Hey, thank you very much.
See you, buddy.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. You are listening to Food for Thought 107.7. We're going to go on a short break. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought brought to you on The Pulse, WTPL, by New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com, and by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry. Kale and Company is up in just about 10 minutes or so as we're in our final few moments of The Pulse. Tomorrow it's Comedy Cold Cuts saluting National Donut Day. Carol, it was your idea, and I didn't know what I'd find, but I got some really funny comedy bits that we'll share after 12.
I enjoy Comedy Cold Cuts.
Oh, thanks.
I really do. It's different, and it's fun. Very fun.
Well, it's nice to have a theme. I don't think I've heard anything quite like it on the radio before, where you basically take a food theme and run with it for a half hour. But it's been fun. Sometimes, you know, because I try to find at least three. Sometimes it might take me a half hour. Sometimes it'll take 2 hours. But it's enjoyable work listening to all these.
I bet it is.
They say, well, I can't use that, but it's pretty funny, so I'll listen to it some more.
And, you know, this weekend looks like it's going to be a pretty nice weekend. Cooler side.
Yeah. But, what happened to summer, by the way?
I know. But it's going to come. It's going to come. But there's a couple of things going on. You know, I love picking up the Hippo because you can.
Love the Hippo.
You know, you just open
it up. It's a people's paper.
It is a people's paper, definitely. But there's the WOKQ's 31st Annual Blue Point Brewing Company Chowder Fest.
Mm-hmm.
That is going on Saturday at 11:30 a.m. It's at Strawberry Banks Museum right in Portsmouth. And then there's also in Bedford, I mean, there's many, many other things, but these couple of things kind of caught my eye. I don't think you'll probably like this one. It's a fairy folk festival.
Oh, are they having that where, in Nashua?
This Saturday it's going to be in Bedford at Peter Woodbury Elementary School.
Oh, is it geared toward kids? Like fairy tales and stuff, I'm going to guess?
There is going to be fairy tales
right.
and kids. I mean, I have a fairy garden in my garden.
Whoa. All right.
I do.
Update me. I do not know what a fairy garden is.
You don't know what a fairy garden is?
I do not.
Wow.
What grows in a fairy garden, Carol?
Little tiny little plants, little people, little fairy houses.
Seriously?
Little paths.
So
stone paths.
This is the first in my life I've heard of this.
Yeah. How, really?
Now, if I Google.
This is like a big thing. If I Google fairy houses.
Fairy gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
A million things will come.
So there are certain plants, and it's all kind of in scale to the little people?
It is scaled down. My fairy garden, I have not put the plants in yet, but I've done a fairy garden with all the plants and all that stuff. I actually went to a fairy garden class at Bedford Fields. And,
Stop it! You're putting me on.
I did. I love it. It's really cool. So I have it. You know, I don't know if listeners heard us talking, but I've been putting together. We have a chicken coop out in the backyard that we did used to have chickens when we moved there like 9 years ago.
Right.
Tyler handled them, but I have transformed it into a I guess you could call it like a girl cave. It is. I've had my guys out there working on it, and my son's a master electrician, so we have lights in there, and and it's painted bright yellow.
What goes
purple.
In a girl cave?
Well, you know, I'm in that process right now because it just finished, and you know, all the paint and we shellacked the floor because it's, you know, obviously an old, you know, wooden floor in there, and it's really cool. We put a fire pit in the backyard,
but not in the actual structure.
Not in that structure. No, but just outside of it. But
wow.
Yeah, and I'm not sure yet. I do have a couple pieces of funky furniture that I am going to put in there. But I'm not quite, you know. I ordered also a farmer's table.
Oh, those are huge.
Yeah, it's a 7-foot farmer's table, and it's going to be made for outside with two benches on either side. That is going to be coming in about a week or so. So that's going out there too. That's like my big thing out there. I want to have a farmer's table.
The fairy garden. I'm going to Google that later and find out.
Wait till you see what comes up.
Okay.
A ton of things. And if you go to Bedford, do you know Bedford Fields in Bedford?
I know where it is. I want to walk.
I love Bedford Fields.
I've
and
been
they
there.
Have a whole fairy section there. They have a fairy section.
I'm glad I came to the show today.
Well, you'll be coming. You and Barbara will be coming to the house. We're going to have a party when the backyard's totally finished. And you'll see my fairy garden. Mike's looking at me like I'm nuts.
No, I believe it. There's something for everybody in this world.
Daryl did the same thing, so that's okay. It's all cool.
Okay.
But coming up next is Kale & Company, and he has something very special that's going to be in the studio, and it is the Calder Cup.
Oh, I forgot. Is the Calder Cup here yet?
The Calder Cup. I haven't seen it yet, but it is going to be here. So, you know, listeners out there, Kale & Company is on from 2 to 5. If you want to come and see the Calder Cup, come on down to 814 Elm Street, right in the Beacon Building, and you can come and take a look at it.
Can we pour like a margarita in there and line the rim with salt and drink it together, Carol?
Maybe we could have put some tuna pea wiggle in it.
Pass on that.
There you go. All right. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.